On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God, guys! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
How's it going, everybody? Welcome to Tall Can Sports. I'm Matt, and that's Rob.
And that would be Rob over here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's happening, man?
You know, man.
All right.
just feeling mellow over here.
I wanted to get to this on the last show, and I sort of forgot. So even though it's just a tad bit out of date.
Which show?
On Tall Can Sports. Last time.
Is that what we're on? Are the mics running? Is this on? Hello? Okay, sorry.
It's been about a week and a half since Ross Adkins went on MLB radio and said that he just doesn't see Vladdy Guerrero Jr. as a major league player.
Right at this minute.
And I understand what's happening. You're going to send him down for 3 weeks so you can save a year on his contract. And we all get it. But could you be less condescending? Yeah. Could you be less of an asshole when you lie about this? Because we all know why you're doing it. And if you say things like, well, we'll see how spring training goes, or all the bullshit that we still know is bullshit, but is less obnoxious than to say he's not a major, because don't kid yourself, Vladdy also knows what's up, and he was quoted in an interview back in the fall where he said, well, I've been waiting, you know, 19 years of my life for this, what's another 3 weeks? He knows what's going to happen. But I'll remember if you tell me I'm not a major league player, and as a fan, I'll remember if you try and tell me that that guy is not a major league player.
Yeah, and really, I am. And again, Vladdy is saying the right thing, mm-hmm. right? He's saying, well, I'll wait another 3 weeks. But the reality is, it comes down to you're waiting an extra year now
yes,
before you
to make
get that
your
big
money.
Now, again, you're going to make fine money if you do what you're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, before you get to make your own paycheck, write your own way, they're now, this 3 weeks translates into 365.
Yep.
So to hear him say throughout spring training up until this point, yeah, every day I'm there's things I got to work on, right? You keep hearing Vladdy say that over and over again, like he's fully aware this is going to happen and he's going to take it as, yeah, I got to go down and work on a couple of things and they told me I could come back. Yeah, it is the complete and total sham that they've
but
choreographed
we all
from
get
top
that,
to bottom.
Right.
No, I'm
but your credibility is just, but in 3 weeks he will be a major leaguer. Like,
well, because he went down and tore the skin off the ball down
yeah.
there.
Yeah. Learned to defend, learned how to run bases. Took 3 weeks. Isn't that incredible?
Learned how to slide into home base.
Yeah.
Oof.
Don't do that, man.
Don't do that at all.
It's fucking February 29th.
Oh, look how savvy he is because he pulls his hand in. How about don't slide like that?
Yeah. I don't know. I just think it's... And there's so many people who will give it to you online going, you're an idiot if you don't understand why they're doing... I understand why they're doing this. You don't have to insult the fan base while you do it. And really, you don't have to insult him while you do it. Because he will remember this in 6 years or five, whenever he comes to renegotiate. I don't know. You said I wasn't a major leaguer. Might cost you an extra couple of million here.
I think if you want to keep the sham up to date, you go ahead and say, yeah, we're just waiting. We're going to see. We're going to see how spring training unfolds.
We'll still know it's bullshit, but you're less obnoxious.
Yeah. See, because 16 years later, we are still remembering here in Ottawa, Jacques Martin saying, yeah, Jason Spezza, this is a man's league, right? He's not ready to play.
Yeah.
Well, I can only imagine if I remember that, how does Spez feel?
He remembers.
Yeah, it's not a man's league. Fuck you.
Pepperidge Farm remembers.
Yeah, see?
They do, man.
Of course they do.
I wanted to talk a little bit about, and this has been out there for a while now, but Johnny Football, no longer welcome in the Canadian Football League. Now, before he came up here, he had had to sign a contract with the league that stated all kinds of extra shit that he couldn't do because he had a history, right? And most of it was, you know, partying and drugs and drinking and shit related, right?
Whoring.
Sure. And
I don't know about that. I just do that.
So that allows him to sign with Hamilton, where he backs up a little bit. Hamilton deals him to Montreal for two firsts and two usable pieces.
A boatload.
Yeah. Which people in Montreal are now trying to downplay, but
your franchise was already struggling,
and you now
have sewered it.
Yeah, you don't have the piece that you traded to get, and you don't have all the pieces you traded to get it
to rebuild.
So they terminate his contract, and the CFL puts out a press release that says he will any contract that another CFL team tries to register with him will not be accepted. He has broken rules that were set forth for him. Now, no one's talking on what that was, but there's a bunch of talk that he had the flu a lot in Montreal. He was late for shit a lot. Look, we're not going to risk getting fucking sued here, but there's allegedly a ton of talk that maybe he wasn't the upstanding citizen that he was supposed to be, certainly while he was here, but maybe more so during the off season. He's sort of fallen out, and they just don't want to do this anymore. And I don't know if we've ever seen this before in terms of the league actually essentially banning someone. No one can sign this guy to a contract.
Well, and what makes it a possibility that somebody would sign is that we don't know what the reasons are.
Right.
And at this point, it's all just speculation. And
do you think it ever comes out? Everything does eventually.
Well, my hunch, my leanings, there is nothing.
They just don't want him.
There is nothing concrete.
Okay.
And they're either doing him a favor, right? Letting him go because he doesn't want to be here, right? I think the league was way harder than he thought it was going to be.
For sure.
We all thought that he was feeling like he was just going to roll in here and he was going to dominate.
Almost never happens.
And he was going to dominate it like he did, NCAA.
What about the other thought? And I've seen this floated by a few different people. No one willing to put a hard stamp on it, that he intentionally breached some of these rules so he could walk to the AAF or...
Yeah. And again, the whole they're doing him a favor, that's not what I mean. I'm just saying that there is this part of me that says, yeah, he didn't do anything. Until they come out and say, yeah, you breached, subsection B, C, and D of your contract, we're left to speculate. I think he was going to continue to be a middling to poor CFL quarterback, and they're going to cut him loose. They're going to get rid of that.
Do you expect to see him in the AAF this season?
Sure, because I look at the guys who are already there.
When he's already calling, well, most of the quarterbacks are scrubs, I believe was his phrasing. Welcome to this new league, I guess.
And we saw you, Johnny, for the better part of this year.
You scrub.
Scrub seems highly appropriate.
You should fit right in.
There you go. Right there, my friend.
Well, how
Birmingham Steel, here I come.
How fucked up is it that, you know, the guys at Three Down Nation were talking about, even if he's not necessarily in the AAF, maybe he's got an eye on the XFL, which will launch next year. Vince McMahon is saying, we don't want people with a criminal history and a drug history. Like when Vince McMahon looks at Johnny Manziel and says, yeah, you're not good enough for our league.
Well, because that would have been absolutely what they were looking for in the old XFL,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, absolutely. Is star name, power and
sizzle, yeah. All that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, when the CFL is coming out and saying, yeah, breach of contract, all this sort of conduct I'm becoming, blah, 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 and Johnny Manziel saying, yeah, I'm just going to pursue other options south of the border.
Yeah, he's not fighting it.
Yeah, it's...
Thanks to Coach Sherman.
And Coach Sherman, right, is...
In Montreal.
Yeah, is absolutely... He had a previous history with him.
Yeah, down in the NCAA.
Yeah, and you go, man, it's just such a sewering, right? And Sherman was the guy who sort of put faith in him.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, come out and get him, right? I can work with that guy. Man, it's just a messy, messy situation.
But how bad does this now look on the Alouettes? Like we said... Couple of pieces were dealt, couple of first round picks for a team already struggling to get Johnny, hoping he would carry them as their new starting quarterback. And maybe you could go, all right, I guess then at that point, if that happens, it's a fair trade. Now they don't even have him. Like that franchise is.
Well, and when he went there, there was a lot of attention. It was probably one of the only non-red black games that I tuned into.
I'm the same way. I was watching that game. I'm gonna see this.
And
right?
I'm interested.
And he was fucking terrible.
And it was he was terrible. And then he got concussed here the next week in Ottawa.
Yeah.
Right. And you just go. Now he said all the right things.
Yep.
I never saw a post game. You know, after he took the beating.
Yep.
Against Hamilton, and you just sort of go, man, he's gonna come out and he's gonna. No, he propped up his teammates.
I agree with you. Yeah.
To me,
he talked up his coaches, there's a lot I need to learn.
He never came across, while here, publicly, I don't know what he said in his podcast or other podcasts. I don't know. I wasn't listening.
Yeah, there's only one podcast that matters.
So. But it, for sure.
Yeah.
But his front-facing media side was always very professional.
I thought so, too.
And so you kind of thought, okay, look at that guy. He's now got to a spot where he understands, all right, this Canadian football, it's a little bit of a different brand. But if I drill down on it and keep my shit tight, I can do it. But
so I'm fascinated by that. Your take then is that this is sort of a mutual parting of the ways, and we just won't talk. We'll come up, you know, we'll pretend.
I can't believe, and again, I know that's far-fetched and it sounds out there.
Well,
but at this point, we're not hearing anything. And if I'm the Alouettes, I'm raising blue hell.
Yeah.
If you're telling me this guy that we sold the farm for and we're not getting anything and you're just cutting him loose and we're not knowing why, I'm sure they know why.
Yeah.
But the league would I'd be demanding compensation of the league at that point.
Right.
If you are on your own terms saying, yeah, Montreal, you don't have the ability to run your own show, so we're terminating this guy's contract and you're out. You're like, fuck, why can't we rehabilitate the guy?
Right.
We've sold all the things that you've already outlined, and now you are going to terminate him? There has to be something else, is all I'm saying. And I'm not sure we're ever going to find out.
Yeah. No, I'm not either, but I'm intrigued.
And then throw a smoke bomb over there when his wife comes out and is seen to be cheating on a half marathon, charity half marathon. Now people are running in thongs and...
Yeah,
like Playboy
it's not
bunnies
exactly
in
the
it.
Boston Marathon or anything. But
they still have to run with chips. And they were saying whatever the last 10 miles of it, she'd have to have run at a 4-minute mile clip to finish the race.
It was something like an hour and 40 minutes for the first half and then like 25 minutes for the second half or something stupid.
What is I'm
like,
saying is a world record,
yes.
Like second half, like just blistering.
Yeah. This is his wife.
What I'm saying is, yeah, honey, hold on here. I'm going to throw a little smoke over this way.
Yeah.
Hey, look over here.
You two are made for each other.
Oh, honestly, it's just, it's like, and her saying, I don't get it. I do this for charity. I don't know what you guys are making this big fuss about. Don't
you got an Uber for half of it.
Don't you have anything better to do? Well, honestly, this is, it's a Seinfeld episode, right?
Yeah. It's true.
I slept in. You were supposed to set your alarm and you're
I was thinking of the other one. You don't want to wear the ribbon? But that's a walkathon, not a
ribbon. Okay, but it's honestly, it's the whole thing is just, you're like, what is wrong with you? Get out of here, loser.
I want to talk a little bit about Jason Witten, who was on, I think it was Monday Night Football this year as a broadcaster.
Terrible.
All right.
He's no Tony Romo, that
he's
guy.
He's taken a year off. He's a former tight end, and now once again a tight end, for the Dallas Cowboys. And he signs, I believe they said, a $5 million deal. But the interesting thing to me was for a contract that demands 25 snaps per game. And I'm interested in your take on this. We've seen other guys, other veterans especially, have roles like this that are in around 30 to 40% of their plays. But we've never seen it written into a contract quite like this, where it says right in it, you can only use me for 25 snaps per game. And it feels a lot like before kickoff even starts in any game, you've tied your coach's hands a little bit in terms of the roster that you've made available to him. Now, essentially, like I said, he had retired. He went into the broadcast booth. They wanted to bring him back. I think he's only 35?
Yeah, but there's only whatever the number of receiver, like tight end, wide outs, slot backs, any of those. There's only like five guys older than him.
Yes.
For his position.
Right.
In his mid-30s, you are ancient.
So, yes. No, that's true. And so he's coming out of the broadcast booth to do this. And it actually, I was reading, he's taking a pay cut to do it. So I have no idea what he was being paid by ESPN or whoever it is.
Tells you how much money that
They
just generate all the different. You're like, I don't know what broadcast that guy's on.
Right.
There's a million of them.
Yeah.
And they're making that much money.
So at $5 million, he goes back in for another year. Obviously, if he's taking a pay cut, this is about him wanting to compete, but understanding that maybe he can't do it at the level he once did. I got real problems in any sport. Like, you think about it, you know, for a lot of our listeners, you draw back. We're bringing back Jerome Iginla this year, but he can only pay. You're only allowed to put him out there for 15 minutes a game. Two right wingers get injured that game. You're fucked, right?
Like, I'm keeping Jerome in check, and I'm playing him only in the second half of the game.
Well, just saying, right?
Yeah, for sure.
So this is an interesting thing to limit your coach's ability to use a guy, but put him on that coach's roster. I'm intrigued by what you think of this.
And really, also worth noting that the limited number of receivers older, and I mean, yeah, receiving core period across the board, older than him, at least two others were tight ends.
Yep.
So you are looking at something that is a little more generous in terms of the tight end position. They take a lot of abuse, right? They do more blocking and whatever
Absolutely,
else.
Absolutely, yeah.
But big bodies,
yep.
Right? When you're losing that step, it's not as vital if you're a wide out.
Yeah.
I'll see. Wait and see how hard that is. I know it says in the contract 25 snaps, but to me that is, hey man, if I'm killing it,
Week three, if you use me for 28, we're good here.
Yeah.
I wonder how hard and fast it is too, but it does say in everything I've read that it's capped, right? Like
Right. And I think that is, it's written in to protect him, right? If things aren't going well and you're saying, yeah, man, I don't want to be tried. Don't do that.
Yeah.
It says 25. That's it. Period.
I'm done for the day.
Whereas, yeah, if he's killing it and he's raking in short yardage touchdowns and yeah, I think that's only meant to save face for him. And again, I brought up the Tony Romo thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think if he was killing it in the booth, like Tony Romo is, he's not leaving the booth.
Okay. I don't know. I wonder if there's a certain part of that athletic drive that.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, and I agree.
You're not going back out there to get killed if you're not still feeling it, right?
Right.
I wonder about taking a year off.
I do agree with you, though. You're right. To refute my point somewhat is, yeah, if I don't feel like I have that, if I don't have that burning desire,
yeah,
right, I'll sit and take the more,
sure,
the more money, right? It's not like he's working at the Hyundai dealership in Santa Fe, right?
He could be running back for the Red Blacks next week.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, so you're right. You're right. It does speak to a burning desire, but
yeah,
man, I think if I saw my future as a color analyst, I'm sticking with that and trying to hone and
right,
and nail down the next 15 years of my career. But yeah, as an athlete, right, you take it off and you go, you don't get that opportunity to compete
right
anywhere else. It's rarely is it found anywhere else.
I'm fascinated by it, man. I just, a contract like this, you know, and you look at a pitcher coming in, you can only use me for 70 pitches or whatever it might be, right? Like, I think we were starting to enter this new era of, I don't want to say analytics, but that is part of it, right? Especially as you get older and you start to understand where your value is and what you can still do. You know, you can only use me for 3 innings in the outfield.
Yeah, but let's just explore it from the avenue that you've just opened up, which is, yeah, if he was making more money and he's taking a pay cut, let's look at it from that angle. What is the benefit of the limiting of the snaps? I'm not coming back for the money because I'm taking a pay cut.
Yep.
So it is that,
I want to play.
It right. So how does he benefit from less?
Oh, I almost wonder if it was more of a management thing.
That management put it in there?
I'm just asking, floating the possibility. I think the coach is the guy who's been left out in the cold here. The player and the general manager have sat down and said,
which is the player and the owner.
Yep. In a lot of cases.
Well,
and
in Dallas for sure.
Yes, for sure. And said, this is what we think we can do, and we put this. And the coach is the guy who's going to be left on the sideline to go, I could really use you right now. We're 3rd and 8 or whatever in the fourth quarter, but I've already hit my 25 snaps.
Yeah.
Can you play?
Yeah.
Nah. Well, then fuck, what are you doing here? Right? Yeah. Like,
not today, coach.
There's a great episode of the 30 for 30 podcast, for those of you who are interested in the documentaries that ESPN puts out. And they're talking about, help me out here, man, the Atlanta Braves guy back in 92 who was also playing NFL football.
Deion Sanders.
And he leaves the Braves after a playoff game on Saturday to go and play football on Sunday afternoon. And you're sitting here looking at that guy as a teammate on the Braves going, hey, we got a fucking game tomorrow, man. We could use you here. And his defense, and he's right, was he signed a contract with the Atlanta Braves that ended in July so he could go to football training camp. Now, he kept coming back midweek to play for them, but he didn't have a contract. So once the playoffs for Major League Baseball roll around and the NFL season is up and going.
I've told you my precedent, yep, my priority is football.
Right, but the Braves locker room has to be looking around going, hey, man, one's a playoff game and one's, you know, so it's a different situation. But if Jason Witten is a part of my team and we need you right now, but you're going, my contract says this, I'm not doing that.
Yeah. Well, and because we don't know whose stipulation that was.
Yeah.
Right. Is that him and his way of protecting and saying, yeah, the bod can only take so much.
Yeah.
So now if it's going good, I don't mind 28
sure.
snaps.
Yeah.
I don't mind. Or is it the team saying, yeah,
we only think you can give us this. Or,
yeah. So we will maximize you. And, you know, most teams have a couple anyways.
Yeah.
Right. So if you're bringing him in as the second
tight
end, yeah, right, it's fine. But, yeah, it's intriguing. And again, you're right. It's interesting to see the way it's going to go.
Yeah. I just wonder if this opens up across sports a can of worms, or if this is a one-off, that's all. And
well, it's only going to happen, like with most anomalies, it's only going to happen with your high-end guys.
Yeah.
I'm going to roll in there and say, yeah, you know what, 12 minutes tonight, coach. That's how I put it. Yeah, guess what? East Coast League, baby, for you.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Okay, 17?
What keeps me getting paid?
Yes. Yeah. Okay, what are you good for then, really? I don't want to do it all. I don't want to work too hard.
So I think we were looking to touch a little bit on, and they've touch done this
it.
For the
last... Touch it.
They've done this for the last couple of years. It's a really interesting piece in The Athletic where they interview, they said, 198 NHL players, 100 from the Western Conference, 98 from the East. So we're getting that Western Conference bias that...
Stupid douchebags.
And they talk about, there's a bunch of things here, and they just anonymously ask NHL players about, you know, who's the hardest to play against, best in the league, worst in the league, coaches you'd like to work with, things like that.
Coaches you wouldn't like to work with?
Yeah. So we're going to touch a little bit about some of these. I cut out a couple that I didn't think were particularly interesting. I didn't expect you would have read this. I find out that you have. So that spoils a little bit.
Do the things you cut out, did it have to do with, do you think the playoff format should be changed?
I did cut that out.
Yeah, because honestly, I looked at that one. We all have our opinions on that.
Well, the wide majority appeared to have said, yes, it should.
Yeah, 98% or something like that.
But it's not going to be. So, yeah, it wasn't that interesting tonight. And I cut it.
How about I wait and see what you've got before I continue to blunder around? And
all I was going to, you know, go at here, and I was going to quiz you on some of these, but you've already read it. So I will give it to the good listener first. As best all-around player in the NHL was Sidney Crosby at 48%, Connor McDavid at 25%, and Patrice Bergeron at 11%. Now, they listed the top five in each category. I didn't think I needed to go that deep. We've got whatever.
Kucherov was in there.
Yeah, I think at four or five.
Yeah. I'm surprised by that because that dude couldn't check his hat.
Were you surprised, though, that there was still it was still Crosby and by a fairly substantial amount?
No, I wasn't because what
do you agree with it?
I do.
Okay.
I do. I was actually surprised, and I guess I have to suspend my disbelief because it is a player poll. That Bergeron
was that high?
Fits in that high. I love Patrice Bergeron. So to me, yeah, he's a great pick.
I bet you do, you fucker.
Yeah.
Keeps taking down the lead.
Yeah. And so, but to me, Sid over Connor on I think Sid's got the better defensive game. The 200.
And that is what it says, best all-around game.
200-foot game, right? And I look at Sid's ability to back check a little better that he's worked really hard on. His face-offs, those sorts of things have improved dramatically over his career. I think you have to give it to him in that. And the players say so, so.
Yeah, they talked about in the article, you know, him being still so strong in the corners and along the boards and things like that, that maybe Connor isn't quite as strong at. Maybe he will get there, but so far.
Because Sid, if you look at him now and how he's transitioned his body type, right?
Yeah.
He's a beast.
He's a fucking horse.
From the waist down. Like, yeah. Honestly, the
sorry. Sid being a horse from the waist down.
Yeah, but legs. For you, man. Yeah, just honestly, legs on him like tree trunks. And so, yeah, that lower body of gravity, and he gets in there and he works down low very hard.
Yeah.
Whereas, yeah, I think you watch, and you just need to watch Connor McDavid, right, and marvel at his open ice
and his transition
and all.
Yeah.
You just go, man, he's a freak. Like an absolute freak. But I think at this point in time, yeah, the all-round game or the fuller game, the more fulsome, Crosby.
Yeah. I think if you had just asked me the question.
Who is the best player?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I probably would have said Connor.
Yep. But they didn't.
No. But I'm not even trying. No, but I'm not even trying to disagree and add the all-around thing. I think if you just hadn't shown me what NHL players think. Who are still playing, I probably would have said Connor, right? But he's the fastest. He's super talented. He puts up the most points.
Yep.
But Sid's won. Sid's got that, as we've talked about, all the extra shit that he does in terms of face-offs and in his own end and just being a fucker to play against, right? Like
he may chop your finger off.
He might.
And again, what happens is, and the difference between media pundits and doughheads like you and I that speak on a podcast is it gets circulated. It gets circulated. Connor McDavid's the best player in the world, mm-hmm. right? Erik Karlsson, top three in the world, as you heard coming out of that playoff run in 2017, yep. right? And if the media says it enough, it just becomes accepted, right? Whereas the guys who play the game all the time, they don't get lured into or sucked into.
No, I'm the guy who's got to face off against him tomorrow night.
This is it. This is it. I'm the guy in the division with him, and he's fucking eating my lunch all the time.
Yeah.
And he's eating my lunch in a variety of ways. Hey, I'm over here today. Hey, I'm on the end of your bed today, whatever it is.
Right.
And that's it. And so, yeah, I think we as consumers of the product.
Well, I think Connor's the more exciting player.
And again, and the media says, without a doubt, best player in the world. Best player in the world. Yep. Well, do you mean the most exciting offensive player?
Right.
For sure.
Well, they have Ovechkin here at number five too, right? And so again, purely offensive, whatever.
Yeah.
But doesn't do what Sid does.
Right. And then if that's the case, if you want reduced point totals but all around game, Patrice Bergeron's your guy.
If you were starting game seven of the Stanley Cup final tomorrow, who do you want in goal? They had Carey Price at 28%. Fleury at 18%, and Andre Vasilevsky at 15%.
You mean Marc-Andre Fleury expansion draft available, Marc-Andre Fleury?
They're saying for one game to win it all.
No, I know, yeah. but yet somebody deemed him worthy of exposure.
Yes. Well.
Okay, I know that there was a bunch
older
of.
Older and contract blah, blah.
But still, you're like, you're going to give up a guy that other players deem to be. You know, the guy, I was surprised that Bobrovsky not on that list.
They said 24 different goalies got votes because a ton of guys just voted for their own guy. Right.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's
a bit of
sense.
A show of support. And that's why, you know, even your number one guy here at Carey Price is at 28%. That's pretty low. Fleury at 18 and Vasilevsky at 15.
And Holtby and Quick, I think, were the two guys on that list.
Yeah.
Quick. Come on, man. Honestly.
Well, and I don't even know yet, and this is going to sound crazy, but about Vasilevsky, the team that plays in front of him, he doesn't have a great save percentage, relatively speaking, in high danger situations, which is another one of these advanced stats that people keep. You know, he's been great, and I've watched him steal games before. I've watched him do it to my team before. But, you know, I guess when you're the goalie on the best team in the league, you get a couple of nods that way. But
yeah,
I don't think he's a sieve or anything like that.
No, no.
We're going to find out, right?
But Bobrovsky.
Yeah.
Two Vezinas.
But not this year.
And no, not this year for sure. Corpusalo may get more starts than him.
We'll see Keith Kincaid also dealt over this is going to go.
Yeah. But yeah, that you end up with a guy with two Vezinas, recent two Vezinas.
Yes.
Not last year, obviously.
Right.
But not in the top five.
Yeah.
Odd.
No, it's true. Were you surprised to see it be Carey Price? Is that a legacy thing, or do you think he's actually bounced back that far that that's what guys believe now?
Yeah, I think he's had a real comeback year
in
terms of injuries. I think he's reasonably healthy this year.
Yep.
And yeah, he's won some games for Montreal, and I think he is still, if you put him behind any kind of defense, I think he is still the best goalie in the NHL right now. Sorry, Frederik Andersen.
Don't fall off the mic there.
like off my chair?
No, off the mic. You were starting to fade on me a little bit towards the end as I'm watching the levels. They've got here most underrated in the league. And I didn't love any of this because I think some of these guys have become cliche answers. They give this to Alexander Barkov at 28%. Everyone in the world says that guy's underrated, which means he's not fucking underrated.
Right. Probably. Same with Braden Point. Braden Point was
Hold on. Nick Backstrom is at number two with 8%, and Braden Point also at 8%, I believe is. Backstrom, again, I think is one of these answers that at one point was true. But how long can you say it? Like, if everyone's going, that guy's underrated, it means everyone sees that that guy's talented and he's not fucking underrated. Braden Point, yeah, he's sort of, I guess, playing second or third fiddle to Kucherov and Stamkos.
Yeah. Where's Tyler Johnson on this list?
Not on it.
Okay.
Did not make an appearance.
Yeah. Daniel Joseph?
I don't think it's Daniel. I think it's Matthew Joseph.
What about Daniel? Daniel, you're my brother.
His idiot brother.
Yeah, this is it. Totally underrated. You don't even know him.
So give me somebody who's actually underrated.
Mark Stone.
Oh, fuck off. Fine.
You asked.
Austin Matthews. No one talks about that guy.
Okay.
No, seriously.
Mark Stone is a guy whose last 5 years has crushed it in takeaways. End points gets
Don't say end points because he hasn't crushed it in points.
No.
Hasn't crushed it in goals.
I crushed it in takeaways is what I said.
Yeah, and points.
Okay, sorry. And points enough to say you're not a plugger. You know, 60 points is nothing to sneeze at. I'm saying that's a guy who's got zero Selke consideration.
Yeah, okay.
Underrated, man.
I don't really care about the Selke.
Okay, but it is an award still, and it's still one of the major ones.
Yeah. I personally think of guys like Jakub Voracek, maybe, or really? Zach Werenski.
Claude Giroux?
Yeah, but I don't think he's underrated.
Well, I think Voracek is underrated the same way.
I think people talk about Claude Giroux. I don't think anybody talks about...
Voracek was a former, at least top three scorer in the league at one point. Not underrated here.
All right.
Is Mark Giordano?
I think he's tremendously underrated. Guy's like 35 years old. Nobody.
I think having
scores
a career year at 35
does
not make you underrated. It just makes you a late bloomer.
Yeah. Well, I'm not even sure if it makes you that, but it makes you something. Most overrated was interesting to me. PK Subban at 23. Now, they did say something like 60% of guys refused to answer that question, which was interesting.
Because somebody said nobody in the league is overrated.
Yeah. How about, made it this far.
Right. But overpaid.
Yes. That's a thing for sure.
Was the other qualifier. And I looked at that list and went.
Hold on. Lane here. Patrick Laine.
Lane.
Patrick Laine at 9%. And Aaron Ekblad at 6%.
And I read that list to be disliked by other players.
Well, I think you can make that case for Subban.
Well, and then Laine talking about he was taking shots at the Canucks at one point with their whole no video game thing. I think people sort of looked at him as a bit of a punk ass, right? Talking like an established player before he'd really put all his dues in. I think that rankles some NHL players.
Rankles. Is that a thing?
Yeah, it absolutely
is. You can be rankled?
Yes.
Define rankle.
Irritated.
Okay.
You know.
Yeah, no. I don't need you making up definitions.
No, that's it.
Okay. Aaron Ekblad is one you and I have debated on this show before. I think you're a little higher on him, or used to be anyway, than I was. But
Not a number one. He's a number one pick in the way Chris Phillips is a number one pick.
Yeah.
To me, he's a first rounder.
Yep.
And a solid player, but when Max Domi is punching you out, blackening both your eyes, you take a step back in my estimation.
What do you think the deal here is with Subban? Is he overrated, or is he? You brought it up. Is he disliked? There's one of the guys they quoted in the article said he's got a hell of a shot, and that's it. I think he's more than that.
Yeah, he's an excellent puck transporter.
Yeah.
Like, there's no doubt. And he does have a crazy good shot. But I think that is...
Do you think this is him, the way he likes to center himself out? And he is not your put your head down, my teammates were so good, we gave 110%. Yeah. He's not that guy. He's willing to put himself out there and be a celebrity.
Right. He's at the Titans game with his shirt off, planting the sword. He's phoning into radio shows. He's putting himself out in all kinds of places, right? Showing up in the loudest of suits. Like that really, that irritates people.
Rankles them.
And it rankles. I stick with it.
Okay.
Erik Karlsson also on the list in terms of most overrated. I think, yeah, those are guys who you look and go, you know what? Be more of the team guy, right? Don't be that guy that tries to separate yourself all the time.
If Erik Karlsson had stayed this year, and forget the ownership bullshit, which is an absolute factor, I understand all that.
Yep.
Let's say the Sens are just an average NHL franchise.
Yep.
You want to give Erik Karlsson 8 years right now?
Not right now.
No. It's scary, man. And it used to be the ankle or the Achilles or whatever it was. Yeah. You would wonder about his skating. This year it's been kind of the groin stuff. I don't know, man. I'd be nervous giving that guy. He'll get it because that's what you have to give to get a player like that. I'd be scared.
Well, and the thing is, he bet on himself.
Yep.
Right? We talked about it last year in the fall when the trade happened, and we panned it because it was a rental price.
Yep.
They got quantity over quality and yes. yada yada. And
four quarters do not equal a loony.
And it turns out it may very well be a rental price.
Yeah.
It's his health is, and that was what the talk was here. Now, they would have signed him.
Yes.
Honestly, they would have signed him.
Of course. He's the captain and he's super popular. And
but it is, he bet on himself that he was going to go to San Jose. He was going to have a boffo year and then he was going to cash in. Like to mm-hmm. me, as we talked about in the previous show, about, yeah, I'm going to take what's mine and I'm going to go to free agency, maybe sign with San Jose.
Yeah.
But you're wondering now if that gamble looks like it may be costing him tens of millions of dollars.
Yeah. Well.
Because I'm not sure I want to give him Doughty money right now.
Right. Yeah. Which would have been unthinkable 6 months ago.
Well, you watch, I don't know, it was about a week ago. Before he went down with the most recent groin or yeah. knee problem, whatever it is, man, he got walked.
Yes.
A couple of times. Not like we haven't seen since he was in his first couple of seasons.
Yeah.
Right? Inability to turn, just looking like a, you know, like a fresh-legged rookie. And so you go, oof. I'm not sure, right, at this point in the season, if you go, you hope for his sake, right, that, you know, a little rest. Don't come back. Why are you at the All-Star game? Right?
Because it's in San Jose.
Yeah, but you missed a couple games leading up and you're at the, I know it's a no-hitter and it's all those things, but if you have any groin or whatever's you know, yeah. nagging at you, take the time, man. I get it. It's in San Jose, but you had 18 other Sharks there.
The coach you would most want to play for. There was a tie for first place. John Cooper was at 23%.
I totally get that.
Gerard Gallant at 23%.
I totally get that.
And John Tortorella, no, sorry, Barry Trotz at 11%.
And I totally get that. I get all three of those.
Now, Tortorella was in the top five.
Yeah, number five, I think.
Yep.
To me, and again, I've never been in the locker room with any of these guys, right? But you see their demeanor on the ice. You see the way they treat refs in moments of duress. all known to be staunch player coaches.
Yeah.
Trotz especially is supposed to be, right? He's one of those guys that puts people first,
mm-hmm.
right? And so, yeah, I totally get it.
Before I read anywhere here, the first one that jumped to mind for me. Now, Gerard Gallant is a great call and everything you've heard.
Not in Florida.
No, apparently not. But was John Cooper, was the first name that jumped to mind.
For
you
sure,
just
me too.
Never see that guy flip out. You're a first place team. He's treating his guys right. He's never slamming his own guys in the media. You rarely see him screaming at officials. Like, everything about that guy seems like the modern 2019 coach, right? This, you're managing people more than,
yeah, and you hear him talk about other teams and other players and he does it without being condescending.
Yeah,
right? He speaks and it's like he's able to convey genuine admiration for other players or coaches. Yeah. Which is a hard thing to do, short of you listen to Babcock and he talks and again he may be genuine.
Yeah.
But it comes across a bit as backhanded, and you know, when you do it enough, you just sort of, I don't take you at face value.
Yeah. So
and not just Babcock, but a lot of coaches, right?
Well, why don't we get to him? Because in the list of player or coaches you'd least like to play for, It was number one was Tortorella at 30%, which is interesting because he also showed up in the top five of ones you'd most like to play for. So obviously he's a fairly divisive.
Paul Maurice was also in the guys you'd like to play for.
Yeah.
But that's because he's coached half the players in the league.
Hitchcock at number two and Babcock at number three at 11%. Who
and at number five.
For him. Guy Boucher.
Guy Boucher.
Yeah. A lot of sort of old school there. Hitchcock especially. Babcock is a weird blend. He's trying to get there, it seems like, but he's not there. Tortorella, again, I find it super interesting that he is the coach, number one, that players wouldn't want to play for, but also appears in that would like to play for. I think a lot of players obviously feel like Tortorella will go to bat for you, but once he decides he won't, he's not afraid to bury you in the media, and like, I think that's sort of the split there.
See, and what's his name? Whitey on radio here, former
Todd
senator.
White, yeah.
Todd White, former Minnesota Wild, former Ranger, former Blackhawk, former Thrasher. He played for Tortorella with the Rangers.
Right.
And he was scratched 75% of the time.
Right.
And he said Torts was always incredibly honest with him. Right, he never wondered where he stood in Tortorella's books, and so while he wasn't happy with it,
right,
he enjoyed the honesty, and I think a lot of players, any of those especially who still have some of that old school, they understand. Hey, man, if you're gonna deal with me, I want to be dealt with in an honest and open fashion.
Yeah,
right. I don't want to wonder. Right. So I see that, and it's interesting. We didn't touch on it. But dialing back, underrated and overrated, Barkov was on both those lists as well.
Yeah. Well, I think part of that must, again, be sort of so many people are saying that Barkov is underrated that you almost get to the point where you're
sorry
like,
about that.
All right, I guess you're fucking old. Like,
I guess
enough.
I guess you're a superstar.
Right.
But like, I don't see it.
Well, and like, how are we sitting here in 2019? He's also on that overrated list is Dion Phaneuf. Who in 2019 is overrating Dion Phaneuf? At one point, I'll give you that. Had the big salary, had the big name. Part of it was being here in Toronto, right? Over,
had the big hits, had 20 goals.
Yeah.
It's
2019. He's barely making the lineup. There's no one. That's a legacy thing.
He's a healthy scratch.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, right? Like, how are you still sitting here going, that fucking guy's overrated? Who? By who? Who's saying that guy's still fucking great?
Well, yeah.
That's just you don't like him. And that's fine.
Well, there's a lot of guys who don't like him.
Right. But no one's overrating him at this point.
I'm not sure guys who played with him don't like him, though.
I don't think so either. I think lots of guys. You've seen all kinds of guys in a few different cities now stand up and say he was a great teammate. He was, you know.
Yeah.
In Toronto, say what you want about Phil Kessel, who never spoke to the media and never answered a damn question, multiple times stood up and said, I'm sick of the crap that Dion takes in this city, right? You people don't appreciate him. And
yeah, I think his teammates appreciate him.
I do too.
But I think everybody who plays against him
thinks he's a dick.
Well, he's a heavy.
That's probably he's what you want.
He's a heavy stick swinging guy, right?
Best city to visit on the road. I got to be honest with you. When this was first brought to me, I sort of forgot that the number one answer existed, and I guessed Nashville. It was Vegas, okay. Which makes total sense.
See, I went with Vegas. And then I went with New York.
Okay. So it was Vegas at 26%, Nashville at 19%, and Chicago at 13% were the top three.
Yeah, and coming in before New York at number four was Vancouver.
Yes, which was really surprising to me.
For sure.
You'd think all that travel and you get out there. Now, I have heard a few times mentioned on a couple different, you know, player or whatever podcasts that it's low-key a great place to party, right? People don't talk about it, but there's a couple of bars there that are well known. You'll find NHL guys there. And so that's interesting to me. I think part of it is also probably how many BC guys are in the league, and there's only one stop there in the league. So, you know.
Same with any Seattle or northern, you know.
Yeah.
Northwestern United States guys.
Right. How little you know. But, I mean, Vegas at number one. Makes sense. The Vegas flu is apparently real, right? Like guys show up there, young millionaires ready to rock.
Well, not this year though. Vegas is getting rocked at home.
Nashville makes good sense. I mean, it's become a, the arena is right on the strip right there.
Yeah, good times to be had all over the place.
And Chicago at 13, I probably would have had that behind New York or even Montreal. Montreal, I believe, does pop up in the top five here. Like I said, I only wrote down the top three.
No, it doesn't.
No? I'm surprised by that.
I am totally surprised by that.
But Chicago, I mean, once someone says it to you, you go, yeah, I guess, but...
Well, see, and I've been to Chicago,
yeah,
and I've said to you before, we've talked about it in different shows in different fashions, but if I could be a sports star in one city, man, I'd love to be in Chicago. That's a sporting town, right? Multiple baseball teams, football, NHL, basketball. Like, it's just, to me, it's such a blue-collar, but not sporting town, right?
Right.
Like, it's just, it's the sister city of Toronto, but to me, it's...
Yeah, but not really.
It's got the hair on it that Toronto lacks.
Yeah. And the last one that I wrote down here in terms of us touching on was for visiting players, cities you least enjoy visiting.
Yeah, and to me, it was the other interesting nugget.
I thought, I'm not trying to be a shithead here, I thought Edmonton would be right at the top.
I thought Edmonton would be number, that was my guess.
But... part of that is almost more the way the city is laid out. Like, even if you ignore the fucking freezing cold and the travel to get there and whatever, there's no hub, right? Like in Manhattan or even in Toronto or even here in Ottawa. You get to the market now, Ottawa shows up on this list. But Edmonton is spread out in a way that really kind of sucks. Anyway, the players went with Winnipeg at 38% was their number one option. I guess it's the lack of Wi-Fi that we keep hearing about. two is Buffalo, which doesn't surprise me all that much. I guess 15%, nothing to do in Buffalo. And then Ottawa at 12%. Really, it just appears anywhere that it's fucking cold and snowy. People don't want to go, right?
And then Edmonton and Carolina, I think, were the other ones, weren't they?
That's right.
For me, I think the big kicker for Ottawa is where the arena is.
Yeah.
As you've said. And you look in Edmonton, I think it was the same. I don't think it's the same anymore right now that it's downtown. But it used to be you were way out at Northlands, right? And I'm not sure if some of that doesn't still roll through, but I think proximity of arena to...
Yep. Well, because I think a lot of those teams, like I know when Toronto comes in, they stay at whatever the one is attached to the Rideau Center downtown.
The Westin.
Yeah. But I know some stay at, is it the Brock Street or the Brook Street, sort of, again, out in the middle of fucking nowhere,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's out in Kanata, attached to a golf course.
Right. So there's nothing to fucking do.
Which is no good in January.
Yeah. Right. So, but yeah, you can see a climate here, right? Like even in that, I didn't write down all the stats on these, and they say in terms of worst environment, worst fans, Florida is number one because the building is fucking empty, but no one's complaining about going to Miami, right? Even though the building is nowhere close to downtown,
Islander fans,
you'll make that work. Whereas in Ottawa or Buffalo or whatever, the weather fucking sucks, so I'm not interested.
We didn't make it into worst fans, though.
No.
Woo! And
why would you really? Montreal makes it into best fans. Like I said, I didn't write down all the stats on these other ones, but...
Yeah, Vegas, you don't get to be best fans.
Well, players say you do.
A year and a half into the league, you don't know anything.
Yeah. You haven't had to suffer yet.
No, exactly.
Like the rest of us. No one knows suffering like Canadian hockey fans know suffering.
This is it, man. 26 years and counting.
Any final thoughts on any of these that stood out? Things that surprised you? Things that were obvious to
you?
You
suck.
Okay. That's good.
That's about all I got.
I guess we'll wind that one down. Go Leafs, go. That's Tall Can Sports. We'll see you all later on in the weekend on the next episode.
See ya.
Listening. You can get more TCA at TallCanAudio.com or by searching Tall Can Audio on your favorite podcast app.